Hello and welcome, everybody, to Why Should Your Team Win? I'm your host, Katie, and I'm super excited to talk to a fan of this team because they're in the playoffs. So, everyone, please welcome to the show, Vince.
Yay. Hello.
All right, Vince, tell me who your team is and how did it get that way?
Oh, okay. My favorite team is the Edmonton Oilers. It took me a while to kind of pick a team. I started getting into hockey when I was about 15. Mm-hmm. Originally, I was cheering for the Habs.
So, okay.
I kind of got excited when they went on their cup run a few years ago. But I had actually moved to Edmonton for a couple years. So I just kind of got into the atmosphere over there. Like, so many people were Oilers fans, and it was just infectious. It was easy to jump on board. I just lived there for a couple of years, so that's why I'm an Oilers fan now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, no, that's cool. Like, I think when you move to a new city, definitely embrace their team. That's how I became an Avs fan, because I lived in Denver for a couple of years. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Do you have, who's your favorite player, past or present, of the Oilers?
It's going to be can't think of the word I'm trying to say. It's going to be like a bad answer, because it's going to be McDavid.
Yeah, of course.
For a long time, it was like, I didn't want to say McDavid, because I don't like to jump onto the best player. Mm. I was a fan of Hyman for a while. But just watching McDavid play, like, he's the guy that, like, gets me jumping out of my seat the most often, get excited for things. So, like, he's got to be my favorite now. He just won me over.
No kidding. The guy is incredible. I mean, he lived up to the hype. I mean, he was the biggest draft pick since Crosby. I think now he's just trying to get past those second round blues. And
yeah.
Do you guys think you're the cup favorites?
I'd say probably. There's some other good competitors left still, though. I'm a little afraid of, like, playing against the Tkachuk and the Panthers in the final, mm-hmm. Or Carolina Hurricanes. They seem to be a very strong team.
Yeah.
We had a lot of trouble against New Jersey in the regular season. So, like, I don't want to play against New Jersey. Honestly, the whole East looks pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, New Jersey, I mean, most improved team in the East. Carolina's been on the rise the last couple of years. And I think Florida, everyone counted Florida out. You know, everyone picked Boston. I did.
Mm-hmm. I didn't count them out, but I knew that I definitely heavily favored Boston.
Yeah.
But I said from the beginning, like, Florida wins that series, you're dealing with a team that's now better than Boston to beat them. So, like, it's not exactly a good situation either way for Toronto.
Yeah, and I think I also forgot about Bobrovsky, because he did that sweep of Tampa Bay a few years ago when he was with Columbus. So I should have, you know, remembered that, what he was capable of doing.
Yeah.
So I just got a bunch of players to ask about. What are your thoughts on Leon Draisaitl?
Oh, he's incredible. I love how we're lucky enough to have him and McDavid on the same team, because they're both world beaters in just different ways, and they kind of, like, balance each other out. My dad keeps saying Draisaitl is like a pyramid, because you can't knock him over. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, last night's game on the 10th was a really good example, where people kept trying to hit Draisaitl and they would end up falling over instead of him. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's just a very strong player on the puck. A lot of the times people don't even try to attempt to take the puck from him, because they know it's not going to work. So they try to just block his pass instead. So, yeah. He's very good all around. His mm-hmm. passing is exceptional. And, yeah, we're lucky to have him as well as McDavid, and that they seem to be best friends. So, like, they're probably not going anywhere because they would rather play together than play against each other. So
yeah, I think, you know, the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, they're always 1 and 2 in scoring in the league. I think, you know, teams try to shut down McDavid, and then it's like, then they got a dry problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That was, I think that's what happened in game 2 was the opposite, where Draisaitl was hot. They were trying to shut down Draisaitl, and then they kind of left McDavid open for some of his plays. And it was just like, you can do one or the other, but then when both of them are on the ice, they just open up opportunities all over the place.
Yeah, and I think like a common question for Woodcroft, he's your head coach, yeah? It's whether do they play on the same line or does he split them up, and what advantages that has?
I think they both have advantages, and I think they said Woodcroft, maybe he said this about himself, but he's played them together the least out of all the coaches that had them.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the way he does it. He kind of just mixes it up. Like, I think last game in particular, he kind of played them together and separately, like just at random, like just to kind of keep the Knights guessing.
Yeah.
There's definitely advantages. So like when they're both on the ice, the other team, the only thing they can hope to do would be to just keep the puck away from them until their shift is over. But like when they have the puck, like there's not really any stopping them.
Yeah.
But then just, sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
When they're separate, it has advantages too, because it adds that center depth to the team, and it's almost like having two first lines, because they both create so much offense that like the other team may have like one top shutdown guy, but he can't play two lines, so it's tough for them to decide where everyone goes.
Yeah. Another player I want to know more about is Nugent Hopkins. He's had a banger year.
Yeah, he's amazing as well. I'm happy to have him, the longest serving Oiler on the team. He's always been one of our better two-way forwards. But this year he really like upped his game offensively, and he started getting the points and the scoring.
Yeah, it's so awesome when obviously you got McDavid and Draisaitl, but to have him have a monster season, it's exciting to see your team kick ass like that. Another player, sorry, I'm just like going through the roster, but this guy, he's having a hell of a playoffs, is Bouchard.
Oh yes, I kind of saw this coming for a while. Last season people weren't really talking much about him, but I was saying Bouchard's got to be like one of our up and coming star defensemen. Because I saw the offensive upside in him last year. But it's incredible what he can do. He's got that slap shot that kind of is one of the better ones in the league. I won't say it's the best. There's a few people that have it better. But he's got an incredible hard shot, and it's incredibly accurate. And he has a very strong offensive mind where he can see these opportunities before everyone else, and now with Ekholm in the lineup to kind of balance him out, he's gotten just that much better defensively as well, and it's turning him into a superstar player basically. Like, I hope he can keep up the pace.
Well yeah, he's 23. I see his star rising for sure. Another player, let me look at my list here. Oh, so you mentioned Ekholm. You guys got him at the trade deadline. You got rid of Tyson Barrie. Were you sad to see him go? I was when he was with the Avs, but
at first I was. I didn't know really anything about Ekholm. I was just like, I was looking at the point totals, and that was the big thing. And I'm like, well, if it was one for one, even I still don't know if I would be happy about it, because Tyson Barrie puts up so much more.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, I'd say it was definitely worth it for that trade, even giving up the first round pick.
Yeah.
Because like Ekholm was like the big stat that I neglected to look at before was the plus minus, because Barrie was, I think he might have been the worst plus minus on the entire Oilers roster. So like he could get the points, but he was also not like as defensively sound as Ekholm is. And the nice surprise about Ekholm was that he came in and he did exactly what he was supposed to defensively. But I think he surprised everyone about his offensive capability as well. And he started putting up goals and getting lots of points. Like he could just beat the goalie point blank, like with no setup pass. He just shoots the puck and beats them. And it's just like, I don't think anyone saw that coming, really.
Yeah, I think he got a point last night. We'll get into playoffs, but we'll get there, I promise. Mm-hmm. And so now I feel for Tyson. Hopefully one day he gets a cup. Who knows?
I think he'll be good for Nashville. They're a very defensively structured team. So I think he might bring that extra offense for them.
Yeah, I think obviously it was a good trade for you guys. But I always just, I think to be Tyson, be like, oh, I was almost going to the playoffs. You know, like, oh, no, I'm not. You know, that's got to burn a little.
Yeah, I loved him when he was on the team. But I do love this trade as well. Ekholm's been the cornerstone for the team since he came. Mm-hmm. He's just everything that we were missing, basically.
Cool. And then another player, pretty polarizing guy, is Evander Kane. How did you feel when he came to the team?
Initially, I thought it was a good move. Okay. Basically, what happened in the very beginning was that they signed him to almost league minimum. I think it was like slightly over $1 million a year for one year.
Yeah.
So it was like, I think they made it clear to him, like, this is your chance to get back into the league. And if you screw up, we can kind of get rid of you without any repercussions. The salary cap's very low. It's a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
So like you be on your best behavior kind of thing. And I think that since he's like taken that 1 year to kind of to stay on the straight and narrow, that he's definitely gotten his life back together, like off the ice. I haven't seen any like controversies. I think he quit the gambling and everything. So he's definitely gotten everything together. On the ice, he's still that like Brad Marchand type of player where he just aggravates the other team and he can put the puck in the net too. And it's like, it's good to have that kind of person on your team. Mm-hmm. So when they signed him for $5 million, 5 years, I think it was.
Yeah.
Like I was like, that's a good deal because he could be worth more than that in a couple years, like the way he's playing right now. So like, it's good to keep him around.
Yeah. No, I think he's definitely the most hated player in the league. I mean, if you just look at his rap sheet, you know, before he got to Edmonton, I mean, he's just like, it just seemed like a shit guy, how he treated people in his life, treated his team, submitting the fake COVID card, violating COVID, you know, all that stuff. So hopefully, I mean, I'm not going to be an Evander Kane apologist. I do think he's a douche and all that, but do I believe in second chances? Sure. But hopefully he keeps his nose clean for you guys. With that said, he has a douchebag.
Yeah, I think he realizes too, like, I think he appreciates a lot of the people on the Oilers if he doesn't want to make them look bad or bring them down.
No, because I remember when he got traded, you know, it was all over the sports news, you know, Evander Kane being given this opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity to play with McDavid. And McDavid, he had to talk about it. And you could tell with his body language, he was kind of like, you know, but he said the right things. He said what Ken Holland wanted him to say. You know, he's like, if the coaches want him and the GM wants him, then I support their decision.
Yeah, it was really smart, though. They signed him to that trial period because if they had given him $5 million 5 years right off the bat, then I would have been very upset initially because I'm like, we got to actually see if he's capable of holding himself together first.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, I think he has been pretty much keeping the off-ice drama to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about like a beacon of hope for a second, or a beacon of light that was last year, was this kid, Ben Stelzer.
Oh yeah.
That was a
hell of a story. I think, just to kind of slightly go off topic here.
Go ahead.
David tweeted out at the start of these playoffs that he was playing for Ben Stelter. So I was like, you got to win the cup now if that's what you're playing for.
But, I know. So for you guys who don't know, Ben Stelter was kind of their mascot last year. He was fighting brain cancer, and he lost that battle at age 6 last August. But I'm really happy that the Oilers organization, especially McDavid, is keeping his memory alive. And, you know, in the locker room, they wear that black vest, kind of like they give it to player of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I noticed was a big patch that said Ben. And I don't know, I'm just so happy that they're, you know, it's, yeah, they got to win it for him this year, if anything. And like, mm-hmm. also other teams were supporting. I know Dallas did sticks out for Ben, and I know other couple organizations did that as well.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if it's just because it's the playoffs now, but I think that they've been doing the 50-50s for Ben a lot of the time, like for the mm-hmm. cancer research. And I don't know if I've ever seen the 50-50 higher than it's ever been. Like, I think it was at like 5 million almost last night or something like that. So like a lot of people are willing to buy the tickets. And like, it seems like a lot of people are treating it like a charity, which it is. Like, they're mm-hmm. not buying the tickets because they want to win the jackpot, but because they know that the money goes to a good place. There's been a lot of fundraising since they started doing it in his name. So that's very good for the league. It's good for cancer patients and like for the world in general.
Yeah, and just his family, knowing you've got the best hockey player in the world still supporting you after going through such a tragedy, it just says so much about the McDavid as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever made it to a game at Rogers Place? Is it called Rogers Place?
Yeah, I haven't gone to an NHL game. I haven't been able to save up enough money.
I know, right? My goodness.
But I think if I'm not mistaken, the Oilers tickets are a lot more expensive just because of McDavid and Draisaitl, like, draws them a lot of attention.
Yeah, I think all Canadian teams are like a little bit more rabid, you know, when it comes to ticket prices and that sort of thing. So I didn't know Wayne Gretzky's part owner of the Oilers.
I'm not too sure about that.
Oh, I think
for a while I thought he was, but I haven't really seen him around the organization much lately, so I'm not really sure. I know he's doing his thing on TNT.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd have to look into that, honestly.
So do you think McDavid and Draisaitl, they're going to be lifelong Oilers?
I hope so. I wouldn't bet on them being on the Oilers until they retire. But I'd say that they both re-sign maybe another 8 years or 5 years or something. I'd say they re-sign for another term. And then after that, if they still haven't won a cup, then they might go exploring other teams to try to get that late in the career cup. But if they do win a cup in that time frame, I would say they stick around until they retire and just play together.
Yeah. So who do you have a memorable game? Like a game that you're just like, fuck yeah, that's the best ball, you know?
I'm not sure about like in the past. In the years past. Recently though, a couple of the games in the playoffs have been really exciting. The game against the Kings was awesome. The one they were down 3-0 after the first period.
Yeah.
I kind of had lost hope at that point, and I'm like, I know the Oilers are capable of getting 3 goals in 60 minutes or in 40 minutes. I've seen them do it in 20 minutes before. It's not anything crazy, but up until that point in the series, I had not seen them get 3 goals unanswered, which was the big thing. But they made the decision to pull Stuart Skinner and put in Jack Campbell. I wasn't even sure if that was the right decision or not. Mm-hmm. I think Woodcroft said like it wasn't really about Stuart Skinner's play necessarily. It was about just trying to spark something in the team. And mm-hmm. I think it worked because Campbell put up like something like 960 save percentage and the Oilers just took off and they got their 3 goals and tied it up and scored in overtime. I was very excited about that one because that was game four. If they had a lost that game, it would have been 3-1 in the series. And I was basically counting them out at that point if they were down 3-1. So yeah. Very exciting. They managed to tie it up.
Gotta love it. Do you have a team you hate losing to or love beating? if that's the same thing, I don't know.
I'm not really sure. I guess as an Oilers fan, I'd be obligated to say Calgary.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I don't know if I'm as passionate about that series as other Oilers fans. I don't know. I love beating the Knights because I've always seen the Knights as like the best in the West sort of team. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to win the cup, you got to beat the Knights. And they did a good job of that in the regular season, and they seem to be holding their ground so far in the postseason. Same with the Avs. I don't hate losing to the Avs. I have a lot of respect for them, but it's very nice to beat them because they're like one of the best in the West. So mm-hmm. like it's good to know that we can hold our ground against the best teams.
Yeah. No, I would have thought you would have said the LA Kings.
Yeah, it's nice. I guess so. Just because of the rivalry aspect of it. It's very nice to beat them, kind of like in your face kind of moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So last year you guys beat the Kings in 7 in the playoffs. This year you beat them in 6. I do have a question about that first game. It was in Edmonton and you guys lost a tough battle. I think it was like 4-3 or something. And then at the end, all the fans threw garbage on the ice. What were your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think it kind of makes the fans look bad. I remember after game one, a lot of people on social media were saying that Edmonton has the worst fans and stuff like that. I think what I was thinking initially when I was watching it on TV was I think they thought it was a bad call that got that penalty in overtime.
Yeah.
What I saw initially, I think is what the fans also saw, but it turned out to not be the case, was Desharnais fell to the ice, and mm-hmm. it looked like the Kings player slipped on a stick that was on the ice, and the refs called a penalty. So, like, if that were the case, that would have been a bad call. It's just a broken stick on the ice. But it turned out, on the replay, that his stick actually did get stuck underneath the skate of the Kings player. Mm. So, like, that's where that tripping penalty came from. Very crappy time for that penalty, but
yeah,
it's like just because it's an accident doesn't mean that it's not a penalty. So, like, initially I thought it was just the loose stick on the ice that he tripped on, and I was upset in a moment, but because of the broadcasters and the replays, they're able to point out, like, look, this is what happened. So it's easy when I'm sitting at home to be like, oh, okay, I understand now. But when you're a fan on the ice, you may not necessarily get that clairvoyance, I guess you could call it.
Yeah,
and understand. Sure. So they might still be under the impression that was a bad call and they're upset and they're throwing garbage on the ice because they lost the game to a bad call in overtime. Yeah.
No, thanks for explaining that, because, you know, there's a difference between being mad like your team lost, but then just being frustrated because of the refs kind of, you know, you don't agree with the ref, so I can kind of see it better now. Because last playoff, sorry, I'm kind of jumping around. You guys got swept by the Avs. What did that feel like?
Disappointing.
Yeah.
It was good. Like, I had a lot of confidence after the Flames series because we just kind of crushed them, and it just seemed like nothing could stop us at that point. And then very quickly, the Avs gave us a reality check. But I think like 3 out of 4 of those games were like very close games that could have gone either way.
Yeah.
It was a very close series despite it being a sweep.
Yeah. No, I was very shocked even. But I mean, last year's Avs were a team on a mission. It was really, really hard stopping them last year. But I just wanted to go ahead.
And the Oilers weren't expected to get to the conference finals either. It was just kind of like, it almost felt like a fluke, but obviously it was through the hard work and dedication and the coaching change with Woodcroft. They got further than were expected to. But they also are going to use that experience to benefit them in this playoffs, where they're now expected to go a lot further than they did.
Indeed. Do you feel that this team is better than last year's?
Oh, yes, for sure. I felt like they made all the right moves throughout this season. They kind of felt like they didn't come soon enough. But by the time the trade deadline ended, we had all the pieces we needed. We kind of got rid of the pieces that were like bringing us down a little bit. Like, no offense to those pieces, but...
yeah, like, it's the business, yeah.
Like I was saying earlier, I think... Tyson Barrie had the lowest plus minus, and that's not good as a defenseman. You want to be leading the team, not like dragging it down. He's a very, very good player offensively, but he just wasn't there defensively when we needed him. And then Jesse Puljujärvi, he had a very good season last year, and I had high hopes for him initially, but I think they might have signed him too quickly. And I know they were kind of under a deadline. It was like sign him or let him walk. But they signed him for $3 million, I think. And then just suddenly he was not able to produce. And I noticed it was like every time he was on the ice, he would try to make a play. And like if he touched the puck, like within 5 seconds, the other team had the puck. Like it seemed like every time. Like he would miss a pass or fumble receiving a pass or fumble a deke or something. Like it just wasn't not working out for him. I really do hope that going to Carolina kind of sparks something in his game, or like maybe the coaching change helps him fix some of his issues that he's having. But he was definitely like a liability when he was on the ice. He could lay big hits, and that was nice, but that was might have been his only upside. But they got rid of him and brought in Bjugstad, and he's been amazing. Like I would put Bjugstad in the top six.
He had a monster game last night.
Yeah, like he's always good when he's on the ice. He's that strong two-way forward, but he's also very capable offensively. He just like he doesn't produce much offensively because he's more focused on the defensive aspect of things, but when he gets his opportunity, he doesn't let it slide away, which is very nice.
Well, let's just get into the playoffs now. We'll skip the LA series. So you guys won it in six, and now you're against Vegas. Game one, Vegas eked out 6-4, and that 4-goal game by Leon Draisaitl, that was insane. Game two, Edmonton won 5-1. Game three, Vegas won 5-1. Basically, this series has been giving me whiplash.
Oh yeah, it's a roller coaster for sure. I've been like, after every game, I'm like, oh, we're going to get kicked out in this round. And then the next game, I'm like, we're going to win the cup. And then the next game,
yeah,
we're going to get kicked out in this round. It's just back and forth. It's like they've been like on fire or ice cold, basically.
Well, it's been getting really chippy. You know, Kane, he had that quip, fuck around and find out, you know, while punching a guy on the ground upside down. You know, it's like, get him on the skate.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't get a suspension for that one, honestly. That was like street fighting for a second there.
Yeah, I mean, fighting in hockey, it has to stay. But when you're fighting like that, it's like, ugh, it's annoying. It's not even a fight. So let's just talk about game four. Exciting win for you guys in Edmonton, 4-1. The series is tied 2-2. You guys were pretty dominant that first period. That first goal was kind of a freebie.
Mm-hmm.
Hill was out of place, and you guys got the wraparound. But your guys' penalty kill was great. I think Vegas was 0-for-4 on the penalty kill.
Yeah, you guys power play.
Yeah. And you guys were 1-for-6 from the power play.
Yeah. The Edmonton PK was amazing. Bieksa pointed out in the intermission that they basically sacrificed the high shots. They're letting the point man kind of do his thing. That way they can focus more on intercepting the cross crease passes and trying to pressure the guys like a little lower down on the boards. So like they kind of like tightened up their territory where they roam, and it seems to be working for them. The PK has always been the sore spot on the Oilers, but they've been doing really well as of game four.
Yeah. Well, and on the Vegas side, they had Hill in net, and it was his first appearance since March 7th and also his first playoff start of his career. Hats off to him, because he's not the reason Vegas lost.
No, yeah, that was, you can't really win with one goal.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then they didn't exactly take away the scoring chances that Edmonton was getting, so.
Yeah. Well, then also, and on Edmonton's side, Skinner, this is his fifth win, and that's the most by a rookie in the Oilers organization since Moog, if I'm saying that name right.
I wasn't aware of that one, that stuff.
Yeah. But let's talk about the fighting. Haig and Nurse. Who got that one?
Oh, Nurse won that fight. He bloodied up Haig pretty good. I think Nurse was laughing at him at the end of that fight, because at some point Haig realized he was not winning the fight, and he kind of just put Nurse in a headlock to put it to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
The refs broke it up, and you could see Nurse laughing at him, because he's like, He didn't continue the fight. He just kind of tried to stop it.
Yeah, that was, it was, I mean, when you're,
excuse me,
the Haig guy's huge, but he did, I don't know, like 5 punches, like super quick, and none of them really landed. So at first I thought it was kind of a split decision, but I think Nurse edged him out, like you said. But then the Pietrangelo was the lumberjack to the lumberjack swing on Dreisaitl's wrists.
Yeah, that Jesus. was nasty. I didn't like that, because it was very clear. It's like, I'm just out to hurt people now. It was kind of similar, like when Kane had that undisciplined cross check to the face the other night
on Stone. Like,
or I think it was on Pietrangelo.
But
it was, that wasn't good either. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I could understand maybe, like, you don't want to let up the play, go for the hit. But he just straight up went for a cross-check to the face, and that wasn't good. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
But same thing here. I didn't like that he just, it was like a two-handed, like from above his head, like, slammed a stick down on Dreisaitl's arms. And, like, that was just an intention to hurt there.
Yeah, you hate to see it. They gave him a 5-minute major, and you know, yeah, I mean, you're already losing the game. It's 4-1. There's minutes left of the game. Ugh. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Vegas fans didn't like it either. Especially, go ahead.
On like a note with like the reffing, like I just thought it was kind of dumb that they gave him a major in that moment. Like it was definitely a major penalty. But with like a minute and 40 left on the clock, it was like they could have given him 2 minutes and it would have been the same thing.
Yeah.
Unless the only thing I would argue is like if they give him a major, does that like open it up to like the NHLPA to investigate that to see if it's worthy of a suspension or something? Like I don't think it should be a suspension necessarily unless he does it again.
Yeah.
But just like otherwise it's just kind of like you're wasting everyone's time like sitting reviewing the play when there's less than 2 minutes on the clock anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, I just think even as his teammates, it's like, what the hell are you thinking?
Oh yeah,
you know, it's stupid.
Louis DeBrusque and can't remember the other guy's name, something Singh. They pointed out like the Oilers have been peppering Pietrangelo all series long so far, and he's just kind of frustrated and he's letting it out now.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, Drysdale's not an angel. We know this. I think there's a YouTube video of him just spearing dudes in the nuts for like 5 minutes, you know, like, so he's not an angel. But yeah, frustration, you got to dial it in. I mean, look what Mitch Marner did. He took a couple punches to the face and just laughed. You know, I thought that was hilarious. Like, keep your poise. And also, I mean, those players have history. I think they played in the OHL together. But be like Marner and just laugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same thing with he didn't laugh, but Stuart Skinner has been a great example of that. Where like, I think it's at the beginning of Game 4 during the warm up, and they showed that one of the guys on the Knights, I can't remember who, was trying to chirp Skinner while he was doing his warm up, and just like he kept talking, Skinner didn't even answer or even look in his direction. He just kind of was doing his thing and staying calm. He was like, he wasn't letting anyone get to him. And that's been the theme with Skinner all along. It's just like staying calm, even keeled. And like when you're like that, it kind of makes the other team even more upset because like they're just trying to get under your skin and it's not working. And then suddenly they're the ones that are acting out instead of the other team.
Yeah, no, for sure. And also his mustache has magical powers, I think. No, I saw kids that, you know, they wear his mustache and they'll put a mustache on a stick and I thought that was kind of cute.
He's got the best mustache in the league.
For sure, hands down.
And how quickly he grew in his beard too in the playoffs. Like I'm jealous.
No, I love playoff beards. Like last year, Colorado, like Cale Makar grew like 3 wisps on his chin, and like Bowen Byram, he grew a couple patches. And the next, when they at the Stanley Cup parade, all those beards were off. They couldn't wait to get them off. Like those guys that can't grow them, they're like, oh.
Like Nugent Hopkins as well.
Yeah. it takes a while. Sometimes that beard doesn't get kicked in until you're like 30, I swear to God. So Game 5 back to Vegas. Obviously you want the win, but what are you hoping for Game 5?
I guess I'm hoping for like a close win, because it seems like when they blow out their team, it just lights that spark in them to come back fighting. I would like for McDavid and Draisaitl to stay out of the fighting action. There was a moment last night where, well, we were just talking about it a little bit, where Pietrangelo / Draisaitl.
Yeah.
McDavid went right after him, and I started getting nervous. I'm like, oh, I don't want them in the fighting because we need them healthy. We need them completely uninjured.
Yeah, last thing you need is McDavid with a broken thumb out 2 to 4 weeks. You know, like that's a nightmare scenario. But also McDavid, has he ever been in a fight?
I don't know. Honestly, I know he's been angry enough for it sometimes, but he's probably wanted to last night, but I think the other people pulled him apart.
Well, I think not only is he the best player, but I think mentally he knows better. Like, you don't really see him get frustrated, really. I don't know.
I've seen him frustrated.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because he's like the quiet type that doesn't say a whole lot.
Yeah, I think that's public. What I mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But then, like, when he's on the ice, you can see his frustration sometimes if the team's playing bad or if the other team's getting some dirty hits on him that aren't getting called. He gets visually upset.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple more questions about McDavid. Do you have a favorite McDavid goal?
Definitely the Rangers goal where he went through four Rangers and beat, I can't remember who was in net at the time, the backup. But yeah, that was an incredible goal. I think that might be the best goal of all time, honestly. It's just a single-handed effort. The fact that he was waiting in the neutral zone for so long because Puljujärvi was offside and he had to wait for him to come back before he could even start doing anything, and then still managed to pull off that when the Rangers were all set and ready for him. It was just incredible. Like, I don't know how he does it. Like, he creates opportunities out of what everyone else in the league would see as a giveaway, like, if you attempt it.
Oh, yeah. Not only is he quick, but he can do, you know, he can do those cute moves while going 100 miles per hour. I think my favorite, well, so when did he do that Rangers goal? I'm going to put a link so fans can watch it.
I don't remember. I think it might have been last year. It might have been the year before, but it was probably last year. I just type in Rangers goal on YouTube and it'll probably be the first, or at McDavid Rangers goal.
Yeah.
It'll probably be the first thing that comes up.
I think, go ahead.
That was something else. It was, sorry, go ahead.
No, my favorite McDavid goal is, I think it was last year or the year before, it was against Toronto, and he did like a no look and made O'Reilly look like a dummy. And yeah, he scored on the, you know, scored, and his celebration was even better. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Not off the top of my head, but I'll remember when I see it.
Yeah, no, he skates in and he does like a fake no look pass, or like he does like a no look and O'Reilly eats it up and he just fakes him out. And it's so, I think it was like goal of the year, pretty much. I'll also put a link in on the episode so people can check that out.
I think that's one of his underrated aspects, is just how intelligent he is on the ice. He has the ability to pull off these things, but he's just like, he's so good with the mind games and everything too. Like, he knows how to manipulate people, and it's so special about him. It doesn't really get talked about a whole lot, but yeah, like he knows how to do it, and then he can execute on it even with like even better than anyone can.
So then, here's my last question for you, and I ask it every show. I say, why should your team win the Stanley Cup? So what would it mean for you this year?
This year, to win the Cup, I'd be very excited. I think it would put to bed the rhetoric about McDavid's leaving if he doesn't win a Cup. Mm-hmm. A lot of people seem to think that he hates being in Edmonton, but I don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. I say, as long as Dreisaitl's around, McDavid's not going anywhere. But yeah, it would be incredible. I think it would be a celebration across Canada, the first cup in 20 years.
Yeah.
Or was it 20, 30 years?
Last cup was in 1990.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, there hasn't been a Canadian team to win the Cup in so long that I think Canadians across the board would celebrate any Canadian team winning the Cup.
Yeah, I think the last Canadian team was in 93, Montreal Canadiens. But yeah, if Edmonton wins, yeah, I think everyone overnight will be an Edmonton fan in Canada.
Yeah. They're a very special team this year. I think if they don't get it this year, I'd say it's just kind of uphill for them, because we got Skinner, who's I think is going to be our franchise goalie. He's just going to keep getting better. We got Bouchard coming up. He's just going to keep getting better. Like, we got so many young players that are still growing, and we look like this now. It's a very good sign for the future.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, like I said, I'm an Avs fan, so I watched us lose in the second round 3 years in a row. You know, so you don't win a Stanley Cup overnight. You learn from those second round exits, you know, you learn from it. And I think, you know, beating Sweep last year, I think Edmonton and McDavid, they're hungry.
Yeah.
So
I like getting swept. Jets did it to us too. That wasn't fun.
Yeah. Well, Vince, thanks so much for your time, and good luck tonight.
And thank you.
If you guys make it to the next round, I'd love to talk to you again.
Sounds good.
All right. Take it easy.
You too. Bye.
Bye.